This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. Our guest today is Maura Smiley.
Indeed, I think I can. You naughty little maiden, what makes you whistle now? Well, I'd rather whistle for a man than either sheep or cow.
This is John Floridis. Welcome to Musicians Spotlight. I'm very pleased to welcome today Maura Smiley. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
It's great to have you on the show. We want to tell listeners that we're recording this at the Wingate Hotel in Helena, Montana. And as we are recording this in late January, Maura is in the state doing a number of projects. I know you've been to Montana before. I will tell listeners we met when you were performing with Solace in Butte as part of the Henri Ra Festival.
Yeah.
So that's how we met, and that could be a whole other show, but we've decided we're not going to cover that because Solace has been on the program a number of times, and in addition, you've got so many other things that you're doing that I really wanted to focus on that. There's so many projects that you're involved in. It's pretty hard to keep up on all of them. We do want to tell listeners right off the top that maurasmiley.com is the name of the website that you can go to. And I will tell listeners that your name is spelled M-O-I-R-A. So it's not Moira. It's pronounced Maura, but it looks like Moira. M-O-I-R-A, smiley.com. The most recent recording is Laughter Out of Tears. And there's a couple different projects that I think that we decided we want to focus on. And one certainly is your work with Voco. Mm. Let's maybe start with that and how that came about. And maybe talk also a little bit about this project, the recording project.
Yeah. So Voco, I started because I wanted to have a vehicle, a band, that I would write for. And hopefully that would improvise also, that it would be musicians that would be up for touring and that would like to make music together and improvise together and build songs like that. But also as a vehicle for my songwriting. And I knew that I wanted a combination of everybody singing, so at least three or four harmony parts on most songs, and then cello and banjo. That was the primary pairing that I wanted to hear. And so that's been going for, about 8 years now. I feel like that's kind of my home project. And now it morphs and has different people in it. And we do different projects. And the latest was the Laughter Out of Tears. And that was about my dad passing away 2 years ago. And and songwriting my way to coming to terms with that.
The concept of being in groups that morph seems to be a common theme.
Yeah.
In a number of your projects.
It is, yeah. It's a big, I'm a collaborator, but I also am a perfectionist and I demand a lot. I'm often saying yes to a new collaboration because that's what I'm about. And I think I'm here to just learn. I'm here on the planet to learn and learn and learn. I get a lot of energy from singing with other singers. And that's a big part of my identity, too, is getting others to sing.
One, two, ready, go. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. She got two for a nickel, got four for a dime. I would say more, but it ain't all of mine. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, yeah, she got them for sale. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. She got two for a nickel, got four for a dime. I would sell you more, but it ain't none of mine. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, she got the rhythm of it. I mean, I'm stumbling and kicking on it. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. You know, Grandma left and Grandpa too. Oh, what in the world would you then gonna do? Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, yeah, she got them for sale. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. Me and my babe bought a V84. One that thing on the running board. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, oh, yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, she got the rhythm of it. Yeah. I mean, I'm stumbling and kicking on it. I mean, they're red hot, red hot, red hot. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. She got two for a nickel, got four for a dime. Would say more, but it ain't none of mine. Hot tamales and the red hot. Yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, yeah, she got them for sale. Yeah, she got them for sale. I mean, yeah, she got them for sale.
Maura, do you find it a challenge to find the right musicians to be in a project like that? It seems very specific. It doesn't come across to me as the typical, hey, let's join a band kind of thing.
It's true, yeah. It definitely takes a certain kind of person, and then often I have to train them to do one or two of the aspects because I'll be asking them to do Bulgarian folk song. So they have to kind of get caught up on that. Or maybe they know about it already. And in folk music, musicians that tend to focus on old songs, old folk music, they tend to focus on one culture of it, you know, and really go deep on that. Or I have people that don't necessarily improvise, but really love singing old songs, you know? So usually there's a little bit of catch up with each other, which I like. Because it's also, it's not easy being a touring musician. So if you're, you know, and most of us in this kind of world don't make all that much dough. And so you have to have other things that feed you. And I think learning stuff from each other is probably our greatest asset, you know, our greatest shared wealth.
You also have to find musicians who are willing to hit their own bodies and turn their own bodies into drums, I noticed.
It's true. Yeah. So I have to have people that are willing to look a little silly, but also cool. Mm-hmm. And to me, a big part of performing and why I'm out there on the road so much is that live performance is, I mean, it's kind of a dangerous act, you know? And there's so much beautiful recorded music. You could just sit at home and be comfortable and not worry about that musician making mistakes or just having a bad night. But people come out to live performances to see something and feel something viscerally. And so for me, you know, that's what the body percussion does. It brings that, the body, in contact with the audience, you know. That's important to me.
Keep your engines running, love. Cat purring, sleek and sly. Why walk when you can drive the rhythm down? Oh my, my. Cantaloupe sweet and just as sticky. Dance jiggy, don't deny. Hop four and now she's kicking the rhythm down. Oh my, my. Time to break the floorboards, honey. Hip hop, the top hat flies. Leave it all so you can fly the rhythm down. Oh my, my. Keep your engines running, love. Cat fur and sleek and slide. Why walk when you can drive the rhythm down? Oh my, my. Cantaloupe sweet and just as sticky. Dance jiggy, don't deny. Hot floor and now she's kicking the rhythm down. Oh my, my.
Running, 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 running. Running, 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 running. Running, 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 running. Running.
Keep your engines running, love. Cat purring, sleek and sly. Why walk when you can drive the rhythm down? Oh my, my. Cantaloupe sweet and just as sticky. Dance jiggy, don't deny. Hop four and now she's kicking the rhythm down. Oh my, my. Keep your engines running, love. Cat purring, sleek and sly. Why walk when you can drive the rhythm down? Oh my, my.
Running. Running, 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 running.
This is John Floridas. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I am speaking today with Maura Smiley. Maura, I wanted to ask you about this balance between, well, there's a lot of musical worlds that you try to balance between, but particularly the folk and the classical traditions. And how that applies to your background. You spoke to that a little bit about, you know, just the fact that you were not very influenced at all by modern popular music. How did that happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, the background that I have is growing up on an organic farm in Vermont. My parents were listening to folk music, old Lomax recordings and, you know, lots of old folk music. And then lots of classical recordings and jazz. And some pop of the day, like Crosby, Stills, and Nash and Joni Mitchell. There were, in Vermont, there was a lot of music being done that you just did music. Music was part of what you did as in the community, you know. So I would sing in a children's choir, and then I would take piano lessons, and then you would take another lesson in another instrument. And we started singing folk music in my parents' kitchen, you know, with other people. So it was very much about doing and somewhat about listening, I mean, of course. So I think that's been the biggest shaper of my early brain. And then there were some really cool young musicians in the area that were kind of part of the alternative culture in Vermont, and they were exploring everything from jazz to Sun Ra to Irish folk music to early American shape note music and then medieval music and jazz improv. So I had some good and very wacky influences when I was little. Yeah.
And you were a vocal major in Indiana University. So you mean you fully immersed in the vocal training that goes along, everything that goes along with classical training for your voice?
Yes, I did, which I loved. Did you? And you were in Indiana as well studying music, weren't you?
At a different era, I think.
Yeah. But I found the Midwest to be a really great place to kind of have my next phase of learning. And I went there as a classical pianist. I went there to study, to do a performance degree.
Voice.
Not originally. And I mean, I wouldn't have gotten into their voice program because I was singing more folk stuff at that time. And because of that, I've always thought of myself as more of an instrumentalist who sings rather than coming from being a singer, you know?
That's very interesting. I would not have predicted you would say that.
Huh? Yeah. Huh. Yeah. But I would say now, I don't call myself a fine instrumentalist on the instruments that I play now. You know, banjo and accordion are still, I didn't dive so deeply into them as I did classical piano. So I feel like now really I am more of a singer.
Maura, you mentioned that the geographical switch from Vermont to the Midwest was freeing for you in one way. And I know that from reading some other interviews, your move to Los Angeles and the West Coast was even more so.
Yeah.
And I find this very interesting, this geographical journey. The idea that when you went to the West Coast, just to quote you, it gave you more freedom to make more of the kind of music that you wanted to make.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for asking that. For me, New England was a very strong, it's shaped who I was. And there was, and still is, very strong traditional music playing and with a strong historical knowledge and a real rigor there that I loved. You know, it was great to be around that, both in the folk world and classical. But I found, for a number of reasons, that moving west kept on making me feel more expansive. And, you know, I guess I'm part of a great big tradition of that in this country of you know, going west and opening yourself up to new things. Mm. So maybe it's just the land. I really respond to geography for sure, and the openness of the Midwest was lovely, and then moving to California, obviously it was everything was bigger, and yeah, just the landscape has a huge It just doesn't seem as small and cozy. It sort of demands that you get up and out into it.
I live in California. From the green mountains I came, I travel across this stolen land with nothing but my and these hills are soft and green now. In dry season they will turn to gold. It's on the shoulders of these hills I'll rest my head when I am old. I'm in a river of 10 million people. We're all trying to get home. Why are we all a swarming round the same sweet honeycomb? For that honey is sweet and bitter. Our hunger sings a siren. Restless breeze in a summer so long. And how do you measure bounty when bounty is all that you know? How do you send the angels down collecting rainbows from below? 'Cause I live in California. From the green mountains I came, I travel across this stolen land with nothing but my name.
This is John Floridus. You're listening to Musician Spotlight, and I'm speaking today with Maura Smiley. Maura, I wanted to ask you a question in regards to the comfort that you seem to have with yourself as a person. And this comes up frequently in my conversations with musicians in a number of different genres and a number of different ways, from vocalists to classical composers to saxophonists. The concept of being very comfortable in your own skin, very comfortable with yourself. And you seem to have that to great degrees. Tell me where that comes from.
Oh, interesting. I don't think of myself that way often, but I think it's true. I think maybe that is true, and that's a deeper truth. But I also feel unsure more often than I think I let on. But I would say, if I'm just to admit that, yes, I kind of know what I want to hear, and I've walked confidently through an unusual life so far. And the thing that I think gives me the confidence is, well, confidence is it's a fascinating part of the human psyche, because it's often born of will, I think, the will to be confident. Mm-hmm. And I think that an artist is often divided, because you are tormented with doubts, and you're tormented with not fulfilling your expectations and not ever coming up to the perfection that you hear in your head, right? Or see in your head.
Sure.
So I would say for me, the confidence has been born of my will to get over my fear and get out there, even though there's a large part of me that's just shaking in my shoes, you know, literally at the side of a stage or when I'm writing something, I think, oh, this is going to be crap and this is not worth anything. So I think for a long time it was sort of fake it till you make it kind of attitude. And then more recently, I would say it's a bit more real. But again, at the moment, I would say the confidence that I have is just being present, not trying to have everything fit into my vision of a perfect world, but just being right here, right now.
Maura, with all these different projects that you're juggling all the time, how do you keep yourself grounded? It definitely seems to feed you creatively.
Yeah. Well, some of the things I do, I meditate and I find that exercise is really good. Although when you're touring a lot, you tend to not do as much exercise as you would benefit from. And for a while, before I was touring so much, it was gardening. The other things that keep me feeling really human are dance. I feel like dancing is very important, especially on tour. So I try to find as much opportunity to dance around. And
so you hit the clubs? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, actually, sometimes.
After doing these great, you know, kind of pseudo-traditional folk songs, you got to hit the clubs.
Exactly.
Thump.
It's happened before, yep. Or sometimes I'll just dance in my hotel room, put on some music in my hotel room. Yeah, that helps a lot. Yeah.
MauraSmiley.com is the website you can go to find out more about Maura's work now with Tune Yards, also with Solus, also with Voco, also with her solo recordings.
Yep.
I haven't even mentioned the work with Billy Childs.
Oh, yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff that you have going on.
And the Lomax Project.
The Lomax Project is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
Go to Maura Smiley, M-O-I-R-A Smiley, MauraSmiley.com to find out more about what Maura is doing. And there's always plenty of stuff to find there. Thank you so much for being a guest on Musician Spotlight. And I really hope that we get a chance to visit again with all these different projects. There's never be a shortage of stuff to talk about.
Thank you, John.
This is John Floridus. You've been listening to Musician Spotlight. Our guest today has been Maura Smiley. If you'd like to contact us, you can do so through the Montana Public Radio website, mtpr.org. You can also contact us through our own website, musicianspotlight.org. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Our program is now available as a downloadable podcast from those websites as well as through iTunes. Musicians Spotlight is a production of Montana Public Radio.